This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
If the summit does go well, will you be inviting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to the United States?
Well, the answer is yes to the second part of your question, but certainly if it goes well. And I think it would be well received. I think he would look at it very favorably, so I think that could happen.
All right, so will they, won't they meet? Will there be a summit? All of it seems to be up in the air. What happens after that remains to be seen, or during it. If the summit happens, it is huge, needless to say. But the question is, will Kim Jong-un cut out the nonsense, commit, and also denuclearize, let's say, some of the arsenal? And I'm not so sure that happens. It's interesting, people talk about the approval ratings, and they couldn't be higher for the president. The Rasmussen reports daily on this. I was checking it before we jumped on the air. So, good evening, by the way. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. As I was checking the poll, I realized 49% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. 49% disapprove, so go figure. But the latest figures include 33% who strongly approve of the way the president is performing, 40 who strongly disapprove. That gives him an approval index rating of 7, of -7, which when you look at the updates, the overall, that update is pretty decent. I mean, that's pretty steady to have that right now. So if we talk about the buzz in the land, some of that buzz would be over that, the fact that he's still trying to move forward. We'll see if it happens, and the approval ratings are definitely there for him. They haven't fled. It wasn't some weird thing that just a fluke, an election thing. They're pretty much staying. How about that lava that won't go away in the Hawaiian neighborhood of the Big Island? Volcanic activity is all everybody's talking about. They have no other choice but to talk about the thing that's more than the elephant in the room now. When you talk about vacation land, that's a neighborhood that was just slaughtered by lava. 279 homes in vacation land and neighboring Kaiapo are believed to have been destroyed by the rolling lava. Because who's stopping the lava? I keep saying the same thing. And it's sad to see these people that say, I lost everything. There's a guy whose flower business was decimated, and because that lava blanketed parts of the southeast Big Island. And it probably, they say, lost half of the state's cut flower orchid production. And I think these people had homes for decades and decades. They're trying to come to grips with that. But when you live by a volcano, even though it's unlikely, when it erupts, it erupts. So, I mean, you've had 400 homes destroyed since the ground opened on the Big Island. And eruptions have stemmed from Kilauea, the summit, for which they experienced several earthquakes. The most sizable, 5.6, sent just an ash plume straight up into the sky, and they think there's going to be larger eruptions too as well. And that is crazy to think about that. Wow. But it's, what do you do? I mean, how do you contain the lava? That's what I keep saying. There's nothing you can do. You can build up, try whatever barrier, but eventually it's going to get through, and that's what's happened to all of these people. So in the shadow of this beautiful volcano that looks so pretty and harmless and everything else, once it erupted, it's been like the dam has burst open.
Brutal.
Brutal. Hot lava coming at you. I think I would have left a long time ago no matter what. Too risky. And have to find out about it later. I just remember those fires in Northern California, things that can happen, unattended homes, attended homes. It's, if you think about it, it's just really, it's really crazy. I mean, what do you file on your insurance claim form? Lava attacked my house. I mean, they know. All the people know because they're all there. But wow. Wow, wow, wow. And then as we kind of traverse to and fro and look at what else is making people's heads turn a little bit is a couple of stories, actually. The Triple Crown, I mentioned a little bit about Justify. So people are talking about the horse because it would be a special horse that could win the Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont, which is the longest of the races. But we'll see sooner rather than later. And this, it's interesting. It's, I mean, that's all I can say. It's just incredibly interesting. Something that I got an email from a listener from Terry was this story about the fact that you've got 1 week after canceling the rollout of a game called Active Shooter, there is this, that this store stream has announced the intention to open the floodgates to get all types of content. Wow, and what does that mean? Like Suicide Simulator, ooh. In kindergarten, they have children that are shot in the head by the school principal or hacked apart by the janitor. I'm pretty open-minded, but I would say this would make me very uncomfortable, but this is what they're talking about allowing. Like Valve, it's based in Bellevue, Washington. It says it's boss-free since 1996. Wow. So they don't want to disappoint people, but they have to, what comes into play is what the demographics are. I mean, Active Shooter? Oh, wouldn't that cause outrage and conflict and problems and, oh boy, oh boy. But they think it's numerous misinterpretations. I don't know. I think it's pretty cut and clear. We have active shooters. We're going to give you the style that they killed. We're going to talk about who, what happened to who. And it looks very, I have to tell you, I saw it. It looks very, very realistic. Scarily realistic, rather. So pretty brutal. If you have kids in school and you're watching this game and you're thinking, oh, please, 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 do not get hooked into this, because then I'm going to have to figure out a way to pry you away from it. I think that's what happens, that addiction. It feeds the addiction. At least you couldn't have your head down in the phone the whole time. But wow. Wow, wow, wow. So anyway, non-traditional jobs such as driving for Uber or freelance writing have become less common since 2005. That's what a new survey is saying. Raise your hand if you're an entrepreneur. I've got my special glasses on. And I see that thousands of people call themselves entrepreneur. You can send me your thoughts to americatonightradio.com. Thanks. I'll meet you on the other side.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home.
Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests.
Wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
No attorneys to plead my case. No lawyers to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true for diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now.
Hey, so coming up down the road to peace here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, a couple of really great guests. One, Joaquin Lopez. You got to check out his story. Migrant worker, goes to school, becomes a big-time banker, and now he is a part-time novelist as well. Ryan McCormick joins us, and Ryan McCormick's story is really fascinating because Ryan felt like there was a real hole, a gap in our information or knowledge on death. So he put together a 14-part series on it, interviewed all kinds of doctors, people who have suffered from mental illness problems, etc., and just blew the door off this 14-part series. So his conversation about death is so interesting because it's something nobody wants to talk about, and I get it. But it's also something, because it doesn't get talked about, it kind of is one of those things that falls off the map, you know, that you don't want to talk about it because, what do they say, death and taxes is inevitable for all of us. But you don't want to be morose, but actually having healthy conversations, it is fascinating. And you'll hear the guest list for him for that series was unreal. I mentioned this in another hour when we were talking about Invade the Man Cave, but I would be remiss not to mention it here. Justify is a horse that could win the Triple Crown. A 2-year-old unbeaten in 5 trips to the post will try to be the 13th horse in history to win the toughest leg of the Triple Crown, a 1.5 miles at the Belmont Park in Elmont, New York, the largest oval of any thoroughbred racetrack in North America. So 1 lap around the main track with a stretch ending in front of a huge, loud grandstand full of fans anxious for history. I went to the Belmont a couple of times. I went there once with my mother, and it was so fun. It was such a headache to get out there, but we were in the stands, and it's a small area. And it was really pretty incredible. And I'll tell you, Bob Baffert, the trainer for Justify, says, hey, speaking of incredible, it's been an incredible journey. It's been quick. He handled everything thrown at him without losing his composure, and a lot of great horses get nervous, get hot. He said he thrives on this. So he had two good workouts at Belmont. He's briskly galloping and all that other kind of good stuff that you want to see in a horse. We could have a triple crown winner. There's a 40% chance of afternoon showers with a high of 79. You can't help but laugh because if it did get muddy, that would be the third time. Third time. Here's what's interesting. Justifies breeding rights. In other words, making horse babies. Yes, the breeding rights have been sold to Coolmore Stud for $60 million. It was negotiated before the colt won the Preakness. Now, if Justify wins the Triple Crown, it goes up by another $25 million. Wow, that's a pretty nice return on a horse that didn't cost very much. Really, didn't take much, right? Wow. Pretty interesting, I think, that Justify got himself in this situation, and here we may see the tap of yet somebody else going through and making it all the way to the very tough finish line to be able to call yourself a Triple Crown winner, because that's the three prized races, and we hadn't had one in so long, and then to finally be talking about it again is really interesting. Very sad about the death of Kate Spade. The New York City Chief Medical Examiner said that the iconic fashion designer's cause of death, of course, is that she killed herself, a tragic suicide. There was no hiding this, and there was talk about she had been in therapy for 4 years. They say, or her husband said, who was estranged, they were separated. The husband said that she suffered from depression and anxiety for a long time, but that his wife was seeing a doctor regularly, taking medication to treat the disease. Said she sounded happy the night before her death was a complete shock. And, of course, the main concern is protecting the 13-year-old daughter that they had. So it's sad for everyone involved, obviously. It's sad for people who knew her. It's sad for family members and, you know, you name it. Just too bad. Just goes to show you, you never, and I don't have to tell this smart audience, you never know what's going on outside of your own walls. I mean, who knows? People look happy. They seem happy. They have the fake book life going on. You know, whatever's on Facebook, it seems all happy and perfect and whatnot. But who knows what lurks underneath. More resignations lurking in Washington, D.C. Two top Environmental Protection Agency aides resigned this week. Mylon Hupp, who was the director of scheduling in advance, resigned Milan after becoming the subject of a second major controversy. This time was a used Trump hotel mattress. The it's very strange. You know, then there's Sarah Greenwald, a senior EPA advisor, also stepping down. Both women worked for Scott Pruitt, so they were all the way up at the top. When he served as Oklahoma's attorney general, they were part of a close group of appointees known among EPA staffers as the Oklahoma Posse. Can you imagine that? The EPA Washington types. Where's that Oklahoma Posse? Well, the Posse's breaking up, apparently. There were two aides awarded five-figure raises through a legal loophole after the White House rejected a request to bump their salaries. Pruitt first said he didn't know of the raises after they became public in April, but later reversed course, admitting during a congressional hearing that he authorized them. So the EPA isn't saying much. Everyone and their brother is calling them, including me today, and they don't want to comment on it. Not really. I mean, if you force them to make some sort of a comment, I suppose they would. But as a rule, they're looking to not say anything, to just let it ride. But, of course, people find out things, and it gets unveiled, let's put it that way. Speaking of unveiling, the NFL, you like how we're pinging and ponging back and forth, the NFL has branded new helmet designs for all 32 teams. So if you're bored with the same old kind of helmet, your favorite team is going to be wearing a different helmet this time around. I guess it's kind of spruced up, updated, etc. So the new helmets to me, and I look through them, look so incredibly different from what the old helmets were. I got to tell you, fans out there listening, I don't know if you're going to like the new helmets. Honestly, there some of the designs are a little bit better, but I couldn't find fault in the old designs. I'm giving you an example. The Kansas City Chiefs have an Indian headdress as now their helmet. I mean, it's the design on the helmet, but that's what they'll be wearing when they hit the field. Some just changed colors, like the Colts, from white and blue to kind of this purple and parts of it and gray in the other. So kind of a unique design for them. Interesting what happens when you decide you want to get a new, helmet. They open the floodgates and everybody and their brother tries to design one. The Philadelphia Eagles, for example, had just the eagle wings on a green helmet. Now they have a white helmet with a full-on eagle. So that's a big change to get used to. And I think the biggest one is, the Kansas City Chiefs and also Jacksonville. They have an all-teal uniform, and they've got this single color, that teal, that's going to be on their helmets. And then, of course, the familiar Jag will be there. So really more it was just about color, like so many others. What colors were the helmets? You may be shocked when you see some of them. The Jets. Oh, the Jets just win some games. Giant letters, Jets, kind of a green hue and white on either side. And it's typical Jets move. The Detroit Lions have a way different version of the lion on their helmet now. It's very metallic. And the design itself is pretty cool. But will they win games? That's what everybody wants to know. Great design. Will they win games? All right, coming up next, like I mentioned before, you're going to love our next guest, Joaquin Lopez, and then Ryan McCormick rounds things out. Enjoy, everybody. Thanks to all of you for listening to America Tonight.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
There is talk the president could invite North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to the United States, but it all depends on how next week's meeting between the two go. He said today,
maybe we'll start with the White House. What do you think?
They're planning to meet next week in Singapore to talk about denuclearizing the rogue nation. Some mysterious health concerns forced the State Department to evacuate people from the U.S. consulate in China. Officials for a time concerned there was some sort of sonic attack where people were reporting abnormal sensations of sound and pressure. This happened in Cuba in late 2016, where staff members complained of hearing loss, difficulty sleeping, and dizziness. The House continues talking about immigration. House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Members were very engaged, and it's clear that there are a lot of areas of consensus. I'm pleased that members on all sides of our conference are engaging directly to find a solution.
Republicans met for hours on Thursday morning, still working to come to an agreement. I'm John DeMatteo,
USA Radio News.
For some reason, being unpatriotic has become a trend as a way to protest perceived injustices in our country. But true patriots understand that America stands for liberty and justice for all. Standing for the flag and our national anthem is a sign of respect for the liberties and freedoms fought for by millions who made the ultimate sacrifice for this great nation. If you stand for the flag and kneel before the cross, show your position through apparel and merchandise from the Patriot Depot. Patriot Depot has hats, shirts, mugs, books, and other articles that show our beliefs in the First and Second Amendments. Go to PatriotDepot.com now and enter code USA at checkout. Find novelties, bumper stickers, clothing, flags, books, and more. PatriotDepot.com merchandise allows true patriots to express their opinions. Check it out right now. PatriotDepot.com. PatriotDepot.com and enter code USA at checkout.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Wait till you meet our next guest. He's in our virtual green room right now, Joaquin Lopez. Has written a book called Exiled, Book One of the Godstone Trilogy. And if you're looking for the genre, it's, gosh, fiction, fantasy, really interesting read. And pretty much anybody over the age of 15 will understand this book and really appreciate what Joaquin has put together. Thank you so much for joining us on ATN. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So let's talk about pulling this book together and what made you decide you were going to write this book, especially because your background is, and I'll have you tell us about it, that you were born a migrant farm worker, but now a banker and a writer part-time. How neat is that? So I'm sure there's a ton of experiences we could talk about. But what made you decide you wanted to write this?
Well, I went to the local university at night. I was working full time and going to school at night. When I got done with my degree, I had all this extra time in my hands. And so I started reading a lot of this, you know, fiction fantasy genre. After years and many, many books of this, I thought I could do this myself. So I thought I'd give it a try. And that's how I came up with the idea to try writing.
Yeah, and tackling fiction fantasy, I mean, there's just so much you can do with that. And, you know, the characters and where you can take the characters. Was it fun to pull the characters together?
It was a lot of fun. You know, I pulled from my own personal experience and how I thought a person or an individual should handle certain situations. And so from that experience is what I put that into the characters.
So do you have, sometimes when we write, and I've talked to a lot of writers, they they kind of have a favorite character. Do you have a favorite character in Exile Book One of the Godstone Trilogy?
Yes, I do. My favorite character in this book is Jack, and that's who the story is centered around. And, he's just an all-around good guy, and so I like him.
Jack. So tell us more about Jack. Someone reads the book and they meet Jack. What is Jack like?
Well, when the book starts, Jack is 8 years old, and he's grown up in the palace, and so, he's just a typical 8-year old boy, and the book is about everything that he has to go through, and he has to grow up away from his family and friends, because he gets, as the book is titled, Exiled, and everything that he has to go through growing up to get back home. And he's just a very interesting character. And if I was going to be relive my life, I should say, I'd like to be just like Jack.
I love that. So from starting at 8, he wants to get back to where he's from. And so when you say he, and we see that with the character, he goes through those peaks and valleys. What was, because I don't want to give everything away in the book, but what was the worst thing that Jack went through?
Well, he has to, as part of the exile process, he gets sent out into the desert. And so he has to cross a desert by himself without any food or anything, just his own brains and willpower and desire to survive. So that makes it very, very tough on him.
Oh, yeah, because what happens when you go to a desert? Food, mirages, you can't find it. You're looking for water. That whole theme, is really excellent to take us down that path. When you were putting this together, Joaquin, and we're speaking with Joaquin Lopez, he's the author of this excellent book, Exiled, Book One of the Godstone Trilogy. When you were putting this together, did you feel like the characters were taking you on the journey?
Absolutely. That was part of made it so much fun to do, is the fact that I could take the journey along with the characters. Then I felt like I was experiencing the same thing that the characters were experiencing. So that makes it fun.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And you're writing it and experiencing it at the same time. Is there somebody that you follow in that the fiction fantasy genre that you really like, that kind of is someone that inspired you to write?
Yes, there's actually several authors that I follow, starting with Robert Jordan, and there's Timothy Zahn and Sarah Douglas. I enjoy them. Terry Brooks. I enjoyed reading all of their stuff, and it was all of their books that I was reading when I decided to give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm really familiar with Robert Jordan. Is there a particular book that you like, that's your favorite book? Is it easy to boil that down?
I love his series, the Wheel of Time series. It's 15 books. I love that entire series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it keeps us on that path, like much like you did, where you want to read more. So I'm imagining that Jack, et cetera, will be seeing more of these characters. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why it's called Exiled Book One of the Godstone Trilogy. And again, not to give too much away, because we know people are going to want to go out and grab your book, Joaquin, but the Godstone Trilogy, explain that.
Okay, well, the book is centered around the Godstone, and what the Godstone is a sword that has a stone in the middle of the hilt, and that stone is empowered with the power of the gods, and the last time the gods gave that power to a human was 3,000 years ago, and they promised a chosen one would come and be able to take the and wield the sword. And so eventually Jack will become the chosen one, but that's later down the line in another book.
All right, I like that. Later down the line. You know, and so I'm trying not to give everything away to listeners because I've read the book. And in the, you know, as we talk about the Godstone trilogy, and you mentioned the writers who influenced you and the whole idea of the fantasy fiction, you know, writing fiction that's fantasy, and it's so popular right now too. There's no question. A lot of people really enjoy that. When you do research for this kind of a book, you really have to let your mind wander, don't you?
Absolutely, yes. You know, it's kind of hard to do research because, you know, since it is, you know, fiction fantasy, I mean, the sky's the limit. So you have to research a particular topic and just do research on the topic, and then you take that topic and put it into your story.
Boy, yeah, that's the truth. And so for you, when you were pulling this together and you talked about that, how long did it take you to write this, Joaquin?
It took me a year to write the book from start to finish. And it just, you know, since I was only doing it part-time and working full-time, so I did it in the evenings when I would get home from work and on weekends. It took a year between all the writing and doing the research and then jotting down notes and then going through my notes and getting everything together and fitting the story in my mind the way I wanted it and then put it in on paper. You know, it just took me that long.
And as you said, because you know, I mentioned this at the top, you're a writer part-time and you're a banker. So, boy, that's an interesting combination. What do the people at the bank think?
Actually, I've had several of the employees there that actually bought copies of the book and have read it, and they like it. They think it's really cool that I did this, and several of them thought it was really cool that I was doing this interview.
But that's nice. I love that. And I mentioned this, that you were a migrant farm worker. They went to night school and, oh, wow, you just had that desire in you. And I think it's a fabulous story. So tell everybody what that transition was like for you. Did you just know, hey, I'm going to grab the brass ring?
Well, you know, growing up a migrant farm worker and having to work those long hours out in the hot sun, I knew I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And so when I got the chance to go to school, I would apply myself in school, and I did good in school. And then once I got out, I availed myself of grants and different things and scholarships so that I could go to school. And I went my first year of college full time. And then I got a little discouraged with schools because I couldn't get the classes that I needed. So I started working at the bank full time after a couple of years of that. The bank decided that they wanted me to go back to school if I wanted to get any advancement in the bank, so I went back to school at night.
And then the rest is history, and now you're on this journey, too, with your books. And I want to tell everybody to pick up Exiled, Book 1 of the Godstone Trilogy. This is absolutely the kind of genre I like, and the book is fantastic. It's fiction fantasy, Joaquin Lopez. Congratulations, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
He's in our virtual green room, and he's talking about something that we don't talk about enough, in my opinion. And I know I've had to deal with this, and it's been tough, and I think it's because I grew up in a house where we never talked about this word, death. We never really talked about it. You know, people that once somebody died, including my father, died when I was 8, there wasn't a lot of discussion. So Ryan McCormick joins us. He is the host of the Outer Limits of Inner Truth radio show. And he just did The Death Show, a 14-part series on healing and understanding. Love that title. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
It's an honor to be here with you and your listeners, Ms. Delaney. Thank you so much for having me.
So you heard what I said, that I think death is, it's like a dirty word. I mean, we all know that this is the end, no matter how much money we have, no matter what we do in our life. I mean, you know, ultimately we're all going to die. We don't know when. The only discussion when I was a kid that I ever had about death was my great grandmother, Ryan, said, "You can't do anything about it. I think it's an expiration date that's stamped on your head when you're born." Poof, and that was it. So I love that you explored this. What made you want to do a show on this?
Well, the original motivation for doing this show was that one of my closest friends experienced a horrible tragedy, and I wanted to bring something out of it. I wanted to bring something into the world that would hopefully try to bring some meaning to that tragedy and impact people in a positive way. I'm so sick of everyone saying, oh, you know, thoughts and prayers. I'm like, well, there's got to be something more than that. So what I wanted to do is put together a 14-part series on death, and we covered the first part is just people talking about how they've lost someone, what to do. So I wanted to provide an experience where people could listen to it, they could grow, they could understand, they could bring some kind of semblance or healing. I wanted to ask questions that I guess most people had questions too.
So that's interesting. So So you say that they had a horrible experience. What happened?
Well, my friend's fiance, he was in a car. His fiance and his mother were killed in an accident, and he walked away.
Oh.
So it's horrible. Yeah. So it was just, and it was just unspeakable. And I'm thinking about that. Like, you know, this thing happened, and then a lot of other people have lost someone close to them. So my intention of making this show was, well, what can you say to those people? You know, you just say that the person's in another place, and I just don't want to accept that. So I went up interviewing 65 different people, and then broke it down into 14 parts. And I wanted to provide as much healing, as much understanding as possible. So it's not just my friend, but anyone who's ever lost someone could have a point of reference where it's just not one perspective, but you have 65 other perspectives. And all of them collectively speaking, there's one clear message, and it seems that everything's going to be okay. Eventually, that this is the biggest part of life you can think about.
And it's interesting because you said you interviewed 65 people and all kinds of people. So tell us about some of the people you interviewed in trying to tackle this really tough subject.
Okay. Well, the first thing is, I was bringing back, is I interviewed 7 people who lost someone close to them because I wanted people to know that they're not alone. And then after that, I focus on grief experts and psychologists so they can give you a clear, concise way from their perspective on what to do when you're walking, you know, you're healing. Then I emphasized and talked to people who actually died, people who've had near-death experiences. We have 15 people who died and came back, talked about their experiences, what it was like. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the show. And then we also went into talking to scientists about the science nature of death and actually how to develop communication with people who are in spirit. And then the end of the show is there is a 4-way debate with 2 atheists. I wanted to bring them on the show, so I wanted to get a number of different perspectives and put it on there. So hopefully a clear message could be out there. And the idea is that all the things that we've come to know and believe about death probably are not true. And that there's so much out there, but it's asking the questions, it's trying to get the answers to those questions that we're all asking, saying, why are we here? Why does this have to happen? You know, is there judgment afterwards? Do we go to heaven? Do we go to hell? Try to focus on tackling all those questions.
Wow, such a broad subject, and congratulations on
thank you
on tackling it that way. And you said it, you said the common thing that you found at the end of this is that it's going to be okay. But what else was revealing to you? Because that's a lot of information. So for you personally doing this, you always walk away with something. I've interviewed 15,000 people, so I know, right? And you know, you've talked to a lot of people as well. What was the thing that you walked away with?
Well, I'd say there's a couple quick things. First off, the idea that there is injustice in this world. I see that a lot of things happening. People do horrible things, and then they die, and they don't, you know, see any kind of justice. Apparently, when we die, every action that we bestow upon someone, we experience firsthand. It's called the life review. So there's total justice. And that was revealed by, I think, just about all the people who had a near-death experience. So I think that's probably one of the most important and compelling things. And another thing I learned is that based on the people who had near-death experiences is that we are all apparently one collective being, and the one collective consciousness breaks parts of itself, parts of its perspective up into several different millions or zillions of life beings to give itself the illusion that it's separate. So we are all imaginary characters of one collective being, apparently. And that's part of things. And also, apparently we have infinite number of evolutions. So we are a human being in this lifetime. We'll probably be something else in another lifetime. That's probably one of the things. Also, I think when it comes to the grief experts, there's just so much more that you can do to help people. And if you're opening yourself up, there are a lot of different ways to help yourself, to heal yourself. So I just think that the whole part of the show is that there's just so much out there. And once we get past the initial fear of not wanting to tackle it, it's like the answers are there. There's so much more out there. There's so much opportunity to heal.
I love that. And maybe this can really spur on more of that conversation because you did a 14-part series. It was probably hard to try to figure out how to break it down, right? Because you had so much great information. At some point, you have to figure out, okay, what can I leave out or how do I do this?
Oh,
or
no.
That
absolutely
kind of thing.
That's like 70-plus interviews. I think the original show was 22 hours long, so I had to sit down and cut things out and put things in there. And also, it's the energy of the people, too. When you're interviewing someone, you want to make sure that you're putting things together like you're putting together a sheet of music. You want to make sure it flows and it goes well. And when I'm doing a show like this in this capacity, every person has to be contributing something wonderful and amazing. There were some people that we actually were not able to include that to say their expertise wasn't out there, but it just wasn't a fit for it. But wanted to bring as many people as possible, the best people as possible. So, you know, scientific perspective, it doesn't matter what you believe, what your spiritual beliefs are. You can come, you can listen to this, and there's no judgment. All it is pure information.
Wow, I love that. Pure information. That's a great way to do it. Hey, I'm putting it out here. Here's what I learned. You decide what you think. I'm not telling you how to think, because we live in that world of, what, fake news, or you're on this side, or you're playing on this. So you're not saying you have to think this. These are the ways to look at this. And you even interviewed an author and a 9/11 widow, and I bet that was an interesting interview.
It was a very interesting interview because the intensity of her pain was so relevant, and she was talking about what she had gone through in a firsthand experience. And when you talk to these people who've lost someone close to them, you see the personal tragedies that they've had in their life and what they are doing. I feel like the very beginning of that offers a lot of insight on what people can do to begin the healing process. I think so many times when people lose someone, the first thing they do is that they'll turn to their community, they'll turn, and there's going to be one or two people, or maybe an author says, well, this is my perspective. Again, that's the thing. It's like you get the multiple perspectives on it, and trying to get so many perspectives and condensing it down. Believe it or not, the show is 18 hours long total, 14 parts, 18 hours long, and I still think that that is condensed down from hundreds of hours of information. So trying to get all those main ideas and trying to cram it all into one different show was challenging, but I think the information is all there. And again, when you interview the individual, Lisa Luckett, the 9/11 widow, I think it was a beautiful interview, and she really reveals a lot about what she'd gone through and how to help people.
Yeah, no kidding. And I want to tell everyone, I want to make sure we're speaking with Ryan McCormick, and you need to go to, so you can take a look at this show, so you can listen to it. You know, give yourself some time. It's going to be like a subject where it's kind of like that summer reading. Go to one part, go to the next part, because he did such a great job of editing this. So go to outerlimitsradio.com/deathshow. You'll see it there. And when you laid it out, did you end with the discussion with the atheist, right?
Yes. What I did is at the first 13 shows, and also there's a section in there, too, I forgot to mention, is that we focus specifically an entire segment on pet bereavement. So if you've lost a pet, we interviewed grief experts that focus just on pets alone. And that's totally separate. But I ended it with atheists. I ended it with skepticism because I wanted to say that, okay, no matter what we've just gone through, everything is subject to question. So I made that part to challenge everything else that just happened in the program. And the key about it is that I think that, you know, no matter what our beliefs are, it should always be challenging, always be thoroughly asking, even if these beliefs are true to us. So, I mean, as far as my beliefs go, I'm always challenging, always questioning them because, you know, there could be another thing out there, another part of the puzzle we don't see.
Wow. So. What a great conversation. Please go to outerlimitsradio.com/deathshow. Check it out. Ryan McCormick, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Blaine. It's a great honor to be with you and your listeners.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Homemakers. Groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.